Okay, so it's April.
Yes.
And if you're involved in schools at all, you know, it's kind of a crazy time of year.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Things are wrapping up
But
and
everyone's kind of like got their attention pulled in like a million different directions.
yeah, finals coming up and you know, all the end of year events.
And everybody's just a little bit fried.
Yeah, a little bit.
So it's really helpful sometimes, I think, to sort of zoom out and be like, okay, what's actually important here? What's really going on, you know, beneath the surface of all this last minute activity?
Exactly. And so that's what we're going to try to do today. We're diving into communication that came out of Wishram School. It reflects on this past week, April 7th to the 13th, 2025, and it also looks ahead a little bit. So this is your sort of streamlined guide to the key happenings at Wishram School.
I love it. And, you know, I think it's always good to remind folks that we're looking at one specific school here in one specific place. So, you know, your mileage may vary, but I think there's going to be some really interesting insights that come out of this.
Yeah.
So our mission today is to pull out the essential insights from this snapshot of week at Wishram. What were the main things happening? What values were in play? And we're going to look at both the overall picture and some of the specific details that really make it clear.
That sounds great.
All right, so let's unpack this. What jumps out at you right away?
Well, I think what's really fascinating is how the superintendent, Ty Churchwell, begins his message. He acknowledges right away that feeling we were just talking about, that April is a busy time, right? And then he immediately emphasizes the steady day-to-day commitment of the staff, the students, and their families.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's like he's highlighting that consistent effort as this foundation, even amidst all the end of year energy that we were just talking about.
Exactly. It's not just about the big events or the deadlines. It's about that everyday commitment that keeps things running smoothly.
It really made me think about how school is so much more than just classes for many kids. It's a real source of stability.
Precisely. He even goes on to call it a place of stability, encouragement, and care. It's a really powerful statement about the role the school plays in these kids' lives.
I think we often focus on, you know, the academic side of things, but it's that reliable support system, you know, the
Yeah.
teachers, the staff, the involved parents that really provides the essential groundwork for everything else.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's worth thinking about how recognizing and acknowledging that consistent commitment might impact the school community. You know, how does it affect morale and the overall sense of belonging?
Yeah, and he specifically thanks both the staff and the families for that ongoing effort, right? It's a small thing, but it really underscores the value of that steady commitment.
Definitely, especially at a time when it might be easy to just focus on getting to the finish line.
Exactly. All right, so the communication then moves into a week in review section, which gives us some real-world examples of this commitment in action.
Yeah, this is where we start to see things get really concrete. You know, we move from the big picture ideas to the actual day-to-day happenings.
So let's dive into the specifics. What were some of the key highlights from that week?
Well, the first thing they talk about is the modular building update. It sounds like they made significant progress that week.
Okay, so tell me about this modular building. What is it and why is it important?
So a modular building is basically a prefabricated structure that can be easily transported and assembled on site. It's a faster and often more cost-effective way to add classroom space or other facilities to a school.
So are they like, you know, bringing in trailers or something?
Well, they can be similar to trailers, but they're often designed to be more permanent and to blend in with the existing school buildings.
So why are they adding this modular building? Is it to address overcrowding or?
That's a good question. It's not explicitly stated in the communication, but it's likely that they need additional space to accommodate a growing student population or to provide dedicated spaces for specific programs.
That makes sense. So what kind of progress did they make on the modular building that week?
Well, according to the communication, they got the carpet installed in the classrooms over 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, wow. So that's a pretty big step towards making those spaces actually usable.
Right. And then crucially, they were able to connect the power and test it successfully. So that's a huge milestone, you know, getting the electricity up and running.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like things were really moving along with this modular building project. What other details did they provide?
They also mentioned that they were addressing exterior lighting and punch list items.
Punch list items. I'm not familiar with that term.
So punch list items are basically the final smaller tasks that need to be completed before a construction project is officially finished. It's kind of like the finishing touches, you know, making sure everything is just right.
Oh, I see. So things like, you know, adjusting door handles or touching up paint.
Exactly. It's all about attention to detail and making sure the space is ready for students and staff.
And you mentioned exterior lighting. What's the significance of that?
While exterior lighting is important for safety and security, especially if students or staff will be using the modular building during evening hours.
Right, of course. So they're thinking about all those aspects. It sounds like a pretty comprehensive approach.
Yeah, and they specifically mention Pacific Mobile and Rains Electric as being involved in this part of the project.
Okay, so those are likely the contractors responsible for the modular building and the electrical work, respectively.
Right. And then they mentioned that on Friday, ACET was on site installing wiring for low voltage systems.
ACET and low voltage systems. What exactly does that all mean?
So ACET stands for Applied Security and Electrical Technologies.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're a specialized contractor that handles things like security systems and communications.
Okay. And low voltage systems. Those would be things like?
Yeah. Things like telephones, internet access, security cameras, and even the fire protection system. Basically, all the essential technology infrastructure that a modern school relies on.
So a lot of behind-the-scenes work happening to get those new classrooms fully functional.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's easy to overlook that kind of work, but it's absolutely vital for the smooth operation of the school.
All right, so that's a really good update on the modular building project. It sounds like they're making excellent progress. What else was going on that week?
Well, they also provided an update on the energy efficiency project, which seems to be moving along as well.
The energy efficiency project. Okay, remind me what that's all about.
So this is a separate project aimed at upgrading the school's infrastructure to be more energy efficient, you know, reducing energy consumption and saving money in the long run.
Okay, yeah. And I remember we talked about this a bit last time. They're doing some pretty significant renovations, right?
Right. They're upgrading the lighting, the HVAC system, and making a lot of other improvements.
So what specific updates did they provide this week?
Well, one interesting detail is that they're implementing a swing shift starting on Monday, April 7th.
A swing shift? What does that mean?
It means that they'll be working on the project from 5:00 p.m. to 3:00 a.m. So basically overnight.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Why are they doing that?
It sounds like it's a strategic decision to accelerate the project while minimizing disruption to school activities during the day.
Yeah, that makes sense. It would be pretty chaotic to have construction going on while classes are in session.
Exactly. So it seems like they're trying to balance the need to complete the project quickly with the need to maintain a normal learning environment for the students.
Right. So working overnight is a good compromise.
Mm.
What other aspects of the energy efficiency project did they mention?
They talked about ongoing work on ceiling height adjustments and lighting.
Ceiling height adjustments? Why are they adjusting the ceiling height?
It's not entirely clear from the communication, but it's likely related to optimizing the space for the new lighting systems and potentially improving acoustics or airflow as part of the energy efficiency upgrades.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's not just about swapping out light bulbs. They're really thinking holistically about how to make the building more energy efficient.
Right. They also mentioned that NW Edison was on site on Monday installing emergency lighting in the gym.
NW Edison. That's the local power company, right?
Exactly. So it seems like they're working closely with the power company to make sure that the school has reliable electricity and backup power in case of an outage.
Yeah, that's really important, especially for a large facility like a school. They also mentioned that they're working on the HVAC system, the hot water and chiller systems, and the walk-in cooler freezer. That's a lot of different systems.
It really is. It shows how complex it is to manage a school facility.
Yeah.
You know, you've got all these different systems that need to be maintained and upgraded.
And it's easy to take those things for granted until they stop working.
Exactly. You know, you don't really think about the heating system until it's freezing cold outside.
All right. So we've covered the modular building project and the energy efficiency project. It sounds like both of those are moving along well. What else was happening that week at Wishram?
Well, the communication also provides a day-by-day breakdown of activities. And it really gives you a sense of just how busy things are at this time of year.
Let's take a look at that daily schedule then. What was going on Monday, April 7th?
So on Monday, we see that the school nurse was on site.
Okay, so providing healthcare services to students as usual.
Right. Then there was a check-in meeting with Mr. Churchwell and someone from Apollo.
Apollo. Do we know who or what Apollo refers to?
It's not explicitly defined in the communication. But it could be another organization that the school partners with, perhaps for student support services or professional development.
Okay, so another example of collaboration between the school and outside organizations.
Exactly. Then they mentioned that NW Edison was working on the gym lighting, which we already talked about.
Right, as part of the energy efficiency project. And then we see that there was junior high and high school track practice.
Yeah, so extracurricular activities are still going strong, even with everything else that's happening.
Of course. And then finally, there was a staff program committee meeting.
So it looks like Monday was a pretty full day with a mix of student support infrastructure work, extracurriculars, and staff meetings.
Yeah, definitely a lot going on, and that was just Monday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Tuesday. What we see happening then?
All right, so Tuesday, April 8th. What was on the agenda?
Well, we see that the school therapist was on site.
Okay, so continuing that focus on student well-being.
Right. And then there was a Job Corps tour led by Mr. Walters.
Job Corps. Now, what is Job Corps?
Job Corps is a federal program that provides vocational training and other support services to young people ages 16 to 24.
Oh, interesting. So it sounds like they're maybe exposing students to different career options?
Possibly. Or it could be that some students are already enrolled in Job Corps and they're getting a tour of the facilities.
Okay, that makes sense. Then we see that Mr. Churchwell participated in an OSPI webinar.
Right. OSPI stands for the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction. It's basically the state-level education agency in Washington.
So it sounds like Mr. Churchwell is staying up to date on the latest developments in education policy.
Definitely. And then finally for Tuesday, we see that there was a cell phone policy committee meeting led by Mr. Cameron.
A cell phone policy committee. Now that's interesting. What do you think they might be discussing?
Well, as you can imagine, cell phone use in schools is a hot topic these days. So it's likely that they're working on developing or revising policies around cell phone use in the classroom and on school grounds.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a tricky issue trying to balance the educational benefits of technology with the potential distractions.
Absolutely. So again, we see a pretty full day on Tuesday with a mix of student support, career exploration, professional development, and policy work.
All right, so moving on to Wednesday, April 9th, what was happening then?
Well, they mentioned that they continued with the modular carpet installation.
Right, so still making progress on that important project.
And Mr. Churchwell attended a superintendent meeting with leaders from Gorge Pacific and Waukeakum counties.
Oh, okay, so that's a meeting of superintendents from multiple school districts.
Exactly. It highlights the importance of collaboration and communication between districts. You know, they're all facing similar challenges and they can learn from each other's experiences.
Yeah, that makes sense. So Wednesday was a bit more focused on facilities and inter-district collaboration.
Right. And then let's move on to Thursday, April 10th. What do we see happening then?
Okay, so Thursday, what was on the schedule?
Well, they mentioned continued work on the modular carpet installation.
Right, getting close to finishing that up.
And they also mentioned the delivery of a Konex box.
A Konex box. What's that?
A Konex box is basically a large metal shipping container. They're often used for storage on construction sites or for transporting goods.
Okay, so what do you think they're using the Konex box for in this case?
It's not explicitly stated, but it's likely for storing materials for the energy efficiency project. You know, things like lighting fixtures, insulation materials, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's probably more secure and weatherproof than just leaving those materials out in the open.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the event that really stood out to me on Thursday was the Reach STEM Family Fun Night.
Reach STEM Family Fun Night. Tell me more about that.
So Reach is likely a local program or initiative focused on science, technology, engineering, and math. And this event was basically a night for families to come to the school and participate in hands-on STEM activities.
Oh, that's cool. So it's a way to get kids and families excited about STEM subjects.
Exactly. And the communication even mentioned that there was a great turnout and awesome projects. So it sounds like it was a successful event.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's great to see that the school is prioritizing community engagement and STEM education, even during this busy time of year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It shows that they're thinking about the bigger picture, you know, not just about getting through the end of the school year, but about fostering a love of learning and preparing students for the future.
All right, so we've made it to Friday, April 11th. What was happening on the last day of the week?
Well, on Friday, they mentioned that ASET was back on site working on the security systems.
Right, continuing that work on the modular building.
And then there was a standard response protocol meeting led by Mr. Churchwell and Mr. Cameron.
Standard response protocol, what is that?
It's a standardized system for responding to emergencies in schools. It provides clear guidelines for actions to take in different situations. You know, like a lockdown, a fire drill, an evacuation.
Oh, okay. So it's all about ensuring the safety and security of the school community.
Exactly. And it sounds like they're reviewing and practicing those protocols to make sure everyone is prepared in case of an emergency.
Yeah, that's really important. It's one of those things you hope you never have to use, but you need to be ready just in case.
Exactly. And then finally, they mentioned that there was a high school track meet at Condon.
Okay, so more extracurricular activities rounding out the week.
Right, so that's a quick overview of the week of April 7th to 11th at Wishram School.
Wow, it's amazing how much they packed into a single week.
I know, right? It's a constant whirlwind of activity, but it seems like they're managing it all pretty effectively.
So now let's take a look at the week ahead. What's on the schedule for April 14th to the 20th?
All right, so looking ahead to the following week, it looks like the busy trend continues. We see the school nurse and therapist scheduled for Monday, April 14th.
Okay, so that continued focus on student well-being.
Exactly. And then Mr. Churchwell has several REC meetings scheduled throughout the week.
REC meetings, again, remind me what REC refers to.
It likely stands for Regional Education Cooperative or something similar. It's basically an organization that provides support and services to multiple school districts in the region.
Okay, so it sounds like Mr. Churchwell is involved in a lot of regional level collaboration.
Definitely. And then on Monday, there's also a staff meeting and a community council meeting.
Okay, so those are both important for communication and decision making, you know, keeping everyone informed and involved.
Exactly. Then on Tuesday, Mr. Churchwell has another check-in, an MTSST meeting, and wildfire preparedness training.
MTSS, what does that stand for?
MTSS stands for Multi-Tiered System of Supports. It's a framework for providing targeted support to students based on their individual needs.
Oh, okay. So it's all about ensuring that every student gets the support they need to succeed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the wildfire preparedness training is interesting. It highlights the importance of being prepared for natural disasters, which is unfortunately becoming increasingly relevant in many parts of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Wednesday is a late start day.
Right. So school starts at 10 a.m. that day.
And the staff is using the early morning hours for strategic plan work.
Exactly. So they're taking advantage of that time to focus on long-term planning for the school.
And then there's a suicide prevention assembly for the students.
Right. So again, that focus on student well-being, addressing some really important and sensitive issues.
Definitely. And then there's also an AI workshop for staff.
Yeah, that one really caught my eye. What do you think that's all about?
Well, it's hard to say for sure, but it seems like the school is really interested in exploring how technology can be used to improve education.
Possibly. You know, AI is becoming increasingly prevalent in all aspects of our lives, so it makes sense that they'd be looking at how it can be integrated into the classroom.
It could involve things like personalized learning or using AI tools to analyze student data.
Right. And there's also the potential for using AI to streamline administrative tasks, you know, freeing up teachers and staff to focus more on instruction and student support.
So it's really a sign that the school is looking towards the future and trying to stay ahead of the curve.
Absolutely. And then finally on Wednesday, there's a Reach Water Safety presentation.
Water safety? Now that's an interesting topic. Why do you think they're focusing on that?
It's not explicitly stated, but it could be related to the school's location. You know, if they're near a river or a lake, or if there's been a recent incident involving water safety.
Okay, that makes sense. It's always good to be prepared, especially when it comes to water safety.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then Thursday has no specific events listed in the communication.
Okay, so maybe a bit of a breather after a busy few days.
Possibly. Or it could just be that the schedule hasn't been finalized yet.
Right. And then Friday is a no school day for students.
Yes, it's a staff professional development day focused on strategic plan work.
So they're dedicating a whole day to working on the long-term vision for the school.
Exactly. It shows that they're serious about continuous improvement and making sure they're on track to meet their goals.
And that brings us to the end of the communication.
Yes, but before we wrap up, I want to highlight the concluding message from the superintendent. It's really powerful. He simply says, "The children are the key to our success."
Wow. Yeah, that really brings everything into focus, doesn't it?
It does. It's a reminder that despite all the logistics and the day-to-day challenges, the ultimate goal is always about the students.
It's easy to get caught up in the details, you know, the budgets, the facilities, the schedules, but ultimately it's all about creating a positive and supportive learning environment for the kids.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up this deep dive into a week at Wishram School, what are the key things that stand out to you?
Well, I think the most striking thing is the sheer volume and variety of activities that take place in a single week at a school.
Yeah, it's really remarkable, isn't it? It's like a microcosm of society. You've got all these different things happening all at once.
And it's all interconnected. You know, the facilities, the curriculum, the extracurriculars, the community partnerships, they all play a role in creating a well-rounded educational experience.
Definitely. And I think it's easy to underestimate the amount of work and coordination that goes into making it all happen.
I agree. We often only see the tip of the iceberg, you know, the classrooms and the teachers, but there's so much more going on behind the scenes.
And it's not just about the big things like the construction projects and the policy decisions. It's also about the smaller, everyday interactions. The support that's provided to individual students, the dedication of the staff, you know, all those little things that add up to create a positive and supportive environment.
Absolutely. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the complexity of it all, just remember that it's all ultimately about the kids.
Exactly. The children are the key to our success.
And that's a great note to end on. So thanks for joining me on this deep dive into the world of Wishram School.
It's my pleasure. And for those of you listening, I want to leave you with a final thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been talking about all the different things that go on in a school. But this idea applies to any complex system, whether it's a workplace, a community, or even your own family. When you're feeling overwhelmed by the many demands and challenges, take a moment to appreciate the steady hands, the people who are consistently working behind the scenes to keep things running smoothly. It's often the unsung heroes, the people who don't get a lot of attention, who make the biggest difference.
And that's a great reminder for all of us.
Yeah.
So until next time, keep diving deep and keep appreciating those steady hands.
See you next time.
Bye.